We've heard some fantastic messages over the last few weeks. We've been talking about personal freedom as a church, and we've heard some fantastic messages. Pastor Terry has spoken to us about the importance of forgiveness, the importance of a lifestyle of forgiveness, the importance of a lifestyle of not living offended. And to me, these are massive keys of maintaining our personal freedom. It's kind of like breathing. Learning to forgive immediately, learning to not take offense that's offered to you, because you know offense is offered to you and you get to take it or not. But we get to practice, and really it's those things are like breathing, massive keys to personal freedom. Joseph Matera was here, also a fantastic message, and he was focused on discipleship is a process, not an event. Okay, and also Dr. Rutland was here last week. Who was here last week for Dr. Rutland? Yeah. Fantastic message. He's such a fantastic communicator. But he talked about having the courage to be healed. Having the courage to be healed. And we talk about healing a lot, but the courage to actually step up and say, I need healing in a certain area. And he focused on the parable of the man who was lowered down through the roof by his friends into the room where Jesus was. And he focused on the courage that that man must have needed to allow that to happen and to go with that. And he also talked about, and this is really where I'm going to jump up from today, the courage to confront the thrones that may be ruling in our lives that are something other than the kingdom. He just said there's toxic thrones that can rule in our lives. And I think all of us, we don't have to think really long and hard about what some of those might be. We all have them, but not allowing them to rule. And I love what Terry said today in worship. Was releasing today that there are things that we believe cannot change, but they can change. Yeah. The good news is, and the premise that the big picture statement, I think, over everything that I want to say today is that change can come because he defeated and completed the work for us. So change can come. So with that in mind, I want to continue this theme of personal freedom, if that's all right. And start with some familiar verses and then really talk about some pathways to personal freedom, some pathways to personal freedom that are important to us as a leadership and community. So starting with some familiar verses just to start us off, if you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, we never said that a few years ago, but now we do. Galatians 5:1, it says this, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. It's a very interesting statement. You know, Christ has set you free. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free, sort of making a double statement there. It seems obvious if you've been freed from something that it's for freedom that you've been freed. But sometimes I think we don't always know that. And so I love that passage. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. I want you to know that this morning. Luke 4:18-19, a well-used verse here at Sojourn, and one that we stand on a lot. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and Jesus is saying this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he went on to do that, and he went on to die and was risen from the grave to seal that. And it's what he's still doing today. It's his ministry. It was his ministry. It's his ministry today, and it's our ministry. The oppressed, those that are blind, brokenhearted, being healed. It's powerful. And Isaiah 53:4-6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Wow. That's incredible. You know, Scripture talks about three dimensions to salvation. It's, you know, we have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. And freedom's a little bit like that, I think, in the word of God. We have been freed. Christ has done it all. He's made provision. We have been freed. However, in this process of discipleship, we are becoming free, right? We have been freed. we are becoming free, and we will be freed. So into eternity, when we get this earth suit, out of this earth suit, things will be different. It'll be a different dimension of freedom. But I think the problem is we can sometimes put off into eternity what God wants us to experience today. We either believe that we're stuck in the past, or we put it off to eternity rather than living in the now. And I think that today is the day of freedom, right? Today is the day of freedom. Picture a ladder for me, if you will. I've used this analogy before, but it's just very simple. Imagine a ladder up against a wall for me. And I think sometimes we view that salvation is the top rung of that ladder, that all the steps before we were born again are all those steps. And suddenly we've become a Christian, we're saved, we're born again by the Spirit. And we just sit on that top rung waiting to go into heaven. But the truth is, imagine that ladder is reversed upside down for me. And entering into salvation is actually the bottom rung of that ladder. It's step one, right? It's step one. That's not new for many of you here, but it may be new for some of you or some of you that are listening, that salvation is step one, and there are many steps to take. There's much freedom before we actually move into eternity, and we don't want to put off into eternity, you know, hey, we'll just have this baggage. I'll just always carry this, right? I'll always carry this baggage until I get out of here and I'm with Jesus. No. You don't have to live in that. So why engage freedom? It's been paid for by Jesus. It cost him a lot. It cost him everything. So your freedom's already been completely paid for. I know we say that over and over again, but it's like breathing. We need to know that. Our freedom, whatever it is, however deep we think it is, however dark we think it is, however far we may have fallen in the past or the present, he's paid it. In full, totally, and completely. It's amazing. That's why it's the good news. That's why it's the good news. Secondly, it's available to you. It's been paid for and it's available. It's accessible to you. And I'm going to talk about some pathways to freedom this morning that can help you, help all of us access that freedom. And thirdly, it's actually not about you. What do I mean by that? It actually goes beyond you. You're getting free so that you can give it away to others. It's about your spouse and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. It's about the generations that are coming. And we're going to talk about the generations that came before us in a minute. But it's not just about you. It's about everything that you're called to influence, everything that you're called to affect, everything that you're called to be as a person. And the cost is too high not to apprehend and walk in everything that's paid for and available for us, right? And there's two parts to this. It's his part and our part, right? His part that he has done everything. We've talked about that. We don't work to get our freedom. There's nothing we can do to earn it. If we could earn it, we would already have worked on it, but we can't. We can't. I don't know about you, but before I was saved, I realized so powerfully and sadly that I had no ability to love in the way that I wanted to love. And when God came and changed my life and he filled me with his Spirit, suddenly I had his love in me and I was able to love in a way that I could never love before. I didn't have the capacity to love. But when I received love, I was able to give it. And that's like this. We just get to align with the freedom that he's already done. So we can't earn it. We get to just align with it. Secondly, there is our part. And that's the personal responsibility part. And when we think about the word responsibility, I like to look at it like this, responsibility. It's the ability to respond. Responsibility. Sometimes I think about the word responsibility, and I'm not saying that suddenly you've got to run around frantically because it's all on you to fix something or to get healed. It's an ability to respond and align with what he has already done. That's your part. He's paid for it, and your part is to respond and align to what he's already with what he's already done. Is that good? Good. Don't go quiet on me. I'll read another Babylon Bee. There's another good one, but I don't have time for it. And you know, truthfully, most of the issues that we deal with personally, right, are just symptoms of a deeper root. Symptoms that are their fruit of a deeper cause: anger, frustration, pain. And we've said this a lot, but pain just tells us that something's wrong. Pain is not our enemy, right? My dear son sprained his ankle this week. It was a bad sprain, and he was in pain. But it told Dad that he needed to do something and go and get it checked out. And so pain is our friend, actually. It's not easy, but it helps us to understand something. And I think I was thinking about another analogy. I think that these areas of our lives that are difficult, areas of our lives that are toxic, I want you to imagine a dusty old room that needs major renovation. It's old, the wallpaper's peeling, there's dirt everywhere, and it's filled with a toxic gas. It's a really fantastic picture. It's a happy scenario. It's filled with toxic gas. I think that being born again, gathering with the community of believers, learning to forgive, being in the Word, I think those are disciplines in our life that clears out that toxic gas so we're not choking. It enables us to breathe. It enables us to function. But there's still a room that needs major renovation and has incredible potential to be incredibly beautiful and incredibly usable. And that's what I think we're dealing with. We don't want to just be those that are surviving, but we're one of those that move into complete restoration of everything that God has for you. So that's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to just clean out the atmosphere. He wants to restore things to fullness. Is that good? Okay, so moving into today, pathways to personal freedom. Jeremiah 6:1 says this. It's a well-known passage, but Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. So many of us are at crossroads. In fact, most of us are at many crossroads every day. Decisions are always upon us. But as we stand at the crossroads and ask for the good way today, I want to talk about some of these pathways to personal freedom. It's very practical. As a church, we have a weekend time to gather together, and it's called Free Indeed. And many of you have heard about it, others would not. But I just want to talk about that for a minute. It's a two-day introduction to personal freedom developed by Pastor Terry. He's been teaching it for years, and it really introduces to us the concepts of freedom. You know, Terry's testimony is that he woke up one day, he'd been a Christian all his life and in church, he woke up one day to find out not only was he in a war, but he was a prisoner of war, he'd already been taken captive. And just talking through how God came through and completely released him. We want every member of the church to go through Free Indeed. So are any of you experts in anything like car repairs, painting, plumbing, scrapbooking, ladies, men? You know when there's something that you've just done for a long time and you don't have to think about it, you just do it without thinking, and someone comes along and says there's another way to do it and you just know that they don't know what they're talking about? You're not in pride, it's not arrogance, you just know. You just know it's not the carburetor, you just know that you don't make spaghetti that way. I'm not talking about preferences, but I mean real things. You know, it's a little bit like this for us as a church. We're really not putting this out there as sort of a this might work, you might want to try it, just as a suggestion. We're saying that we know these are pathways to freedom that work, and we've seen thousands actually of people come into new freedom, and whether you've been born again for 50 years or 5 minutes, these are for you. So free indeed. Secondly is restoring the foundations, and we call that RTF around here. And I realize some of you that are new, we might talk about RTF, and you may not even know what it is. And we certainly don't want that to be the case. So I want to give a little overview primarily of RTF today. And there are several ministry freedom models out there, but this is one that we particularly resonate with as a leadership. And it's offered in two formats. One is a single issue format where you focus on one particular area in your life in a three-hour session. And you have trained people take you through that. And there are many teams here at the church. This is what we offer. And there's many teams here at the church that have done that for years. Some to eight, 8 or 9 years we've been offering that here at the church. So those teams, you know who you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You've taken hundreds of people through personal freedom. So I want to thank you for your commitment to that. So that's a single issue. And there's a second format for RTF. It's a 4-day intensive where you get to work through several areas of your life in a 4-day period of time. It's pretty extensive. And it's like a spring cleaning for your whole house. It's really good. It's really, really good. And that's available off-site with trained RTF ministers. We can point you in the right direction. So I really want to talk about some of these today. And we understand that these pathways to freedom, they don't negate discipleship. So don't hear what we're not saying. We're not saying that you go to a ministry session and that's going to solve all problems. It doesn't negate being in the Word. It doesn't negate being in community. It doesn't negate making decisions based on the Word of God. It doesn't negate resisting temptation. It doesn't negate all these things, but they are pathways to personal freedom. They are tools that we need to use, okay? And we also want you to know that these tools are not just for use when you're in a crisis, okay? Really, I think that's one of the biggest deceptions, the biggest fallacies is that, well, I've known the Lord a long time and I'm doing fine, but you're stuck in certain areas. And it just takes that humility, to be honest, to go back and use these tools that will bring freedom to you. Shireen and I went through our 4-day RTF in 2008, and we were not in a crisis at that time. We've had other times where we were in crisis, not really, but where things are pressing. There are situations that we're working through, but at that time, we were not in a crisis, and it was just so powerful. I've been through several other thorough ministries since then. And so it's sort of preventative. Why wait until you're in a crisis? Why not work on preventative measures now? And it's really amazing what God can do. So some of you are looking at me, I don't know, like a calf at a new gate. What do you say in Texas? Calf. Calf at a new gate. We say other things in England, but I'll leave it there. We love, actually, as English, originally English, we're now American citizens, but previously English citizens, we do love Thanksgiving. I think it's incredible, really, all around the world, that you're a nation that has a holiday that's called Thanksgiving. That's really unusual. Yeah. There's no other country that does that. So all over the world, they kind of look at you, they don't know what to do with it, but they know there's an American Thanksgiving, there's an amazing food, and we went to 3 Thanksgivings 1 year. We didn't know. It was early on in our Texas career, and we didn't know. We really didn't know, so we were full. I don't think I ate turkey for another 2 years. No, it was the wonderful hospitableness, hospitality of the Texans. So what do we love about Free Indeed and RTF, okay? We love that they're based on biblical models that appropriate the finished work of the cross. We love that they center around forgiveness and being forgiven. We love that they align with all that Jesus already paid for, and we love that they allow the Holy Spirit to lead and empower the ministry. So those are really important to us. So let's look at RTF a little deeper. I love the analogy that Mark Rutland used last week about thrones, toxic thrones. I thought it was a great way to look at things. And a toxic throne or a toxic structure that can rule in our lives in some area. And I think that it's interesting to me that RTF has 4 major areas that it ministers into, okay? 4 major areas. And if you like, you can look at those like 4 legs upon a throne, 4 legs of a toxic throne, 4 walls of a toxic structure. And those 4 together hold up and make that structure, or those 4 hold up that throne. And we're gonna see how RTF ministers into those. So the 4 are, the first one is the sins of the fathers. Okay, so you go to RTF ministry, they deal with the sins of the fathers. What is this saying? And I'm gonna explain a little more, but this is talking about everything that comes downstream into our lives from our family line. Okay? You know, including you, there's 31 people in 4 generations. That's 31 people's stuff. the secret stuff, the known stuff, the godly decisions, the ungodly decisions, the leaning into God, the leaning out of God, the rebellion, all of it is 31 people that come into your family line. So sins of the fathers, it's dealing with what's coming from downstream. Second one is, this is really good news. I know you've all gone quiet. Second one is ungodly beliefs. And this is really dealing with our thinking. She's looking at the areas in our thinking that don't align with the way that God thinks, don't align with God's word. So we've got sins of the Father, stuff that comes downstream to us. We've got ungodly beliefs, secondly. Thirdly, RTF ministers into soul spirit hurts. And what is that? That's basically wounds in our soul, bruises, if you like, in our soul that come from hurtful situations. So just like our body has a bruise that when it's pressed, there's pain, our soul can actually have bruises from things we've experienced that react and respond in pain when touched. I know nobody here knows what I'm talking about. You have those places, I have those places, but God wants to bring healing to them, okay? So sins of the fathers, what's coming downstream to us from our family line, ungodly thinking, ways that our thinking is not aligned with the word of God and with the way God thinks about us or others or about life. Thirdly, soul spirit hurts. Those are the wounds on our soul that come from experiences and hurts that we've been through that are like a bruise. And finally, the fourth one is demonic oppression. And these are those little fallen spirits that work for the enemy that help empower issues in our lives. We don't pay too much attention to them, but they do need taking authority over and kicking out, right? And it's talking about demonic oppression. We're not talking about possession. We're talking about oppression. What does oppress mean? To press down, to influence in some way. So these are the four areas. And these are not doctrines. Some of these terms may be new to you. They're not doctrines, but they are based on biblical principles, okay? So I want to just go through each one of them quickly. We okay? Do I need more jokes? I'm not great at jokes. I try. Sins of the fathers, okay? This is what's coming downstream to us. Let's look at Exodus 20, verse 3. Which defines the problem. The problem is idolatry. It says this, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commands." And the solution is in Leviticus 26:40. "But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and if their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, my covenant with Isaac, my covenant with Abraham. I will remember the land." And quickly, 1 John 1:9, a New Testament here. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So this is very interesting. God is saying here that this issue of idolatry is our problem. It comes down the family line and it influences us. And we get to confess. And it's very interesting. He uses the word iniquity. Again, this is not going to be new for some of you, but there's a difference in the Bible between sin and iniquity. Sin is missing the mark. Iniquity is a bent towards a particular sin or a sin pattern. And really, family lines can get shaped by it. The analogy here is really like a river. I like to use that analogy where we all have a river in our lives and the current can be particularly strong in one particular area. And it cannot be our stuff. It can be the stuff that's coming down our family line. I mean, how many of you go to the doctors or to the hospital and they make you fill out the medical history of your parents, your grandparents, and your great-grandparents? We were talking about it as a staff the other day. The medical community are aware that physical traits are passed down generationally from your great-grandparents and your parents and your grandparents. And they want to know, are these popping up in you? And some of those traits skip generations. It was exactly the same spiritually. Do you think that we could inherit some spiritual issues from our family line? Yeah. I think we could. And that God wants to come and clean out. And so iniquity, iniquitous patterns, these are the family lines and families are shaped into a proclivity towards certain issues. Can be different for different ones of us. There may be addictive behavior very strongly in the current of our river. There may be anger. And maybe lust. There may be all sorts of things. It just happens that the current's particularly strong in that area. And you know, some people experience some things even as children. Those traits can pop up. And yes, we're absolutely in original sin. We're connected all the way back to Adam. But clearly here, there's a biblical precedent for this, and it's powerful. So is that okay? That we get to We're not taking responsibility personally for the sins of our ancestors, but what we're doing, we're acknowledging as a tribe, as a family before God, that these have been iniquitous patterns in our family. And we're asking you to cleanse and you to wash. And some of those things have popped up in me too. Is that all right? Okay, so that's sins of the fathers. Secondly, ungodly beliefs. This is our thinking. We're mainly dealing with our thinking here. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So scripture's clear. Don't be conformed to the patterns, to the systems, to the thinking processes of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Proverbs 23:7. For as he, a man, thinks in his heart, so is he. Very interesting. And an ungodly belief is anything that is not in agreement with God's word, nature, or character. It can come from hurtful experiences, inherited from the family, learned from friends and culture. And we can hear them coming out of our own mouths if we listen. Yeah. Here's what's interesting to me. So not only spiritual DNA do we have coming down our family line, but think about the attitudes, the beliefs, the words, the behaviors that are passed from family to family. Some of them are really good and some of them are not so good. So as each generation of leaned in or out of God, have allowed the things of the flesh, have allowed iniquitous patterns to reign, these toxic thrones to rule in their lives, that creates a behavior around that. It creates a vocabulary around that. It creates an atmosphere around that. It creates interaction around that. And you as children are growing up in that atmosphere, and that's the bubble that you get to live in. And then you take some of those things that weren't even your stuff, and you raise children in that same atmosphere, in that same bubble. I don't know why everybody's just angry in our family. And look, I'm not here pointing the finger today. I'm here with you in the journey, right? So this is really powerful. Thirdly, soul spirit hurts. These are the bruises in our soul. Psalm 147:3, heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Luke 4:18, we're going to break into the middle, just one sentence. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus was sent by the Father to heal our broken hearts. If you're living and breathing, you've been brokenhearted at some point. Jesus has been sent to heal you. He's been sent to restore that room in your heart. Psalm 142:1. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. So scripturally here, we have this place where we can bring our complaint to God about our wounds, and he wants to heal us. And what RTF does is, as we minister into the sins of the fathers, and we minister into ungodly thinking, we also look at spirit soul hurts, and we ask the Holy Spirit to focus and highlight any particular event or incident that may have happened that could be a root cause to some of the issue that you're having. And Holy Spirit every time shows up and does things. It's really amazing. Finally, demonic oppression, spirits that negatively empower. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Mark 16:17, and these signs will follow those who believe. Do you believe? Amen. In my name they will cast out demons. So good. And demonic oppression, the demons are allowed to hang around in our lives either through intrusion or invitation, and Free Indeed talks a lot about this. But either demonic influence has a place in our life, either through invitation, where those sin patterns have invited those things into our lives, or by intrusion, they're just trying to barge in. And either way, we have to get them out. But what I love about this ministry and what I love about RTF is, as we dethrone the sins of the fathers, as we dethrone ungodly thinking, as we dethrone the soul spirit hurts, our bruises on our soul, the legal ground and the legal right for demonic activity to be present is completely removed. A one-legged chair doesn't stand very well, right? So what RTF does is systematically remove in a certain area, and again, it's not a one-time fix-all, but it's part of this journey of discipleship. It removes the legal ground so that demonic activity just has no place to remain, actually. It's really, really very powerful. So these four can work together, permitting legal ground for a throne of something other than Christ to rule in our lives. So do we think that a generational iniquity along with ungodly thinking and a bruised soul and demonic activity could be an issue for us? that God wants to heal? And just a few closing comments, and I'm going to pray. But sins of the fathers, we cannot change what was handed to us. It's like a parcel, good and bad. But we can be invited by God into a process where we appropriate what Christ has done. And I think appropriation is applying, allowing the effectiveness of the cross and resurrection to take its place. And I think with sins of the fathers, when I began to realize what this was about, I decided that it was going to stop with me. What God is in the process of doing is renaming family lines. Right, there's generational blessings as well as generational curses. And what happens is these generational iniquity, this stuff just gets in the way of us walking in fullness. And I think as a leadership, all we want to see is that anything and everything that's keeping you from being all that God has created you to be, that it would be removed and eradicated. So you can actually get on with the purpose of advancing the kingdom. Get on with the purpose that you were created for. Get on with being 100% who God has made you to be. So this is all a removal process so you can go forward. My spiritual parents told me, I asked about the end times. And my first pastors told me, occupy till he comes. They said, go forward with God, do what he says to do. And when you get to an obstacle, deal with it with God and get it out of the way and keep going. And that's what we're saying here. We're saying you have things to do, things to say, things to be. You have the kingdom of God to release and to represent. And there's stuff that's preventing you from doing it. Baggage, actually, that could be really heavy for you that you don't have to carry. Is that good? So it stops with me. I just realized that it just wasn't about me. And these redemptive gifts that were on the family line, there's curses, but there's powerful redemptive gifts on your family line that he wants released in technicolor. Right now, they're just coming through a stream that's a block pipe. He wants to clean that pipe out so those redemptive gifts can flow 100%. Ungodly beliefs. These are, you know, deeply held beliefs that we don't know we even have. You may even say to yourself, well, I'm completely aligned with what the Bible says. Or you may not. You may be deceived. these are the things that been said to us or done. Things like, I don't belong. If people knew the real me, they would reject me. I will never get credit for what I do. The perfect life is one in which no conflict is allowed. How's that working for you? Authority figures will always misuse me. God loves others more than he loves me. These are things that we may not necessarily articulate, but are there. I had an interesting story, and I'll just share this almost to finish, but I was in one RTF session and dealing with a particular issue. And as we asked the Holy Spirit to reveal a hurt that was a root, I'd not thought about this incident for 40 years, maybe 37 years. But Jesus took me to, we were in an assembly of all the kids in school. In England, we used to have to get together and all sit, and we sang hymns every day. Even though I was completely unsaved, I was singing hymns, which actually God used powerfully in my life later. But I was in an assembly, and I remember there was a kid in my school that had been just making my life miserable for about a year. I mean, really miserable. And I just tried to ignore it, and it was maybe longer than a year, but he was really a serious bully, and it was just really, really, really messing with me. And one day in an assembly, he was messing with me, and I just laid it on him. I just punched him. And the teacher saw me and called me out in front of the whole group and sent me to the principal's office. And so the Holy Spirit is reminding me that I was like, I haven't thought about this for years. And the whole thing unfolded, and I was basically taken to the principal's office. And the kid had lied. I tried to say this kid was bullying me, and I didn't have the words to say. And out of frustration, I think I was 7 or 6 years old, I started to cry. And I was so mad that I was crying because I wanted to be tough. But I was crying, and the principal was there, and the principal totally just didn't believe me and sided with this other kid. And it was a moment of injustice for me. And it kind of sounds so silly telling a story like that to you. But I wanted to share an example, but the Holy Spirit came and he said, that's a root for you. It's a memory I hadn't thought about. It's something that I wouldn't, if you'd asked me, I wouldn't remember it. He just brought it up. And God took me through a process of healing that was a moment where 7-year-old Roland believed there was an injustice. And there was an injustice. And he believed that leaders would not do justly. Okay, all sorts of beliefs can be formed. And so you layer those things, you layer 100 of those, you layer 1,000 of those experiences, and you begin to develop beliefs. You deal with injustice that may be coming down the family line. You know, I'll share this also as we finish. My grandfather was dropped by his nanny when he was a baby and fell onto the floor, and it crushed his hip completely. He was a little baby. And in those days, it was around World War I. They just didn't have the capacity to do anything. And so he walked all of his life without a huge portion of his hip. It had just been crushed. And so this affected him tremendously. And, you know, he felt different to people. He felt rejected. He wasn't able to have certain job opportunities. So really, there was a root of rejection that came upon him because of this issue. And that really influenced the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And so it's things like that, things that are done to you, things that are beyond our control, but things that get into our family line that we develop ungodly thinking about, that we can have bruise in our soul and that demonic activity can center around. Is that okay? Yeah, well, let's pray because I really believe God wants to do something today and in our lives. So just as we bow our heads, I just want you to know that you have a choice, and that the fact is that the prison doors are already open for you because of Christ's finished work, and that as we stand at the crossroads and ask where the good way is. And I want to invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. So, Lord, we ask you, would you just speak to us? Maybe there's a throne ruling in your life in a particular area, and you don't have to be overwhelmed by it. I think all that the Lord's saying to us today is that we just have to say the next yes to what he's asking of us. Some of it may be very overwhelming. Some of it, you may not know how it can be fixed. But as we said this morning, everything's subject to change. I just want us to say the next yes that he's asking of us this morning. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just speak to us. Thank you, Father. Lord, you set before us life and death, and you tell us to choose life. So we just choose life this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. He wants to bring total healing to you. I just pronounce hope for healing right now. Whatever it is, hope for a transformed life. The prison doors are already open and you get to walk free. So we thank you, Father.